against the Astros and their buzzers.
Yes.
Here's what baseball needs to do. Metal detectors on the on-deck circle. The Astros have to go through a metal detector.
They wear spikes.
Well, you could...
Everybody got to take their shoes off like the airport before they go in.
This is TSA, yes. Baby.
The Main Event. Weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. Introducing AutomotiveMap.com, a brand new website for anyone interested in what's happening in the world of automobiles. From reviews on the latest vehicles to vintage rides to tips on keeping your family safe on the road, AutomotiveMap.com has something for you. If you love cars, trucks, and SUVs, and the amazing technology hitting your favorite showroom, check out the brand new AutomotiveMap.com.
Let's begin.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Shine in my pocket, you got that good soul in my feet.
All right, to me, hour number one was the best hour we've had on Radio Row, maybe ever. When you combine Michael Irvin, Tim Brown, and Boomer Esiason, that's an all-star
it's
cast.
It's star-studded. We've got Lil Nas X right here in front of us.
Look at him.
Something.
He looks good.
Yeah, he looks great.
Good-looking cowboy hat on. Is that really a cowboy hat? Is that fair to say? Maybe it is. He is looking sharp. Lots of VIPs roaming the halls today. Joe Montana has come through. We've got, well, my lookalike, Trey Wingo, is over there.
Yes, he is. I mean, it's everywhere.
Everybody
right now
thinks that I look just like him. And that was fine a few years ago, but we're both aging quickly. So he looks.
No, you both look good.
He looks all right. And it's fun to see Oliver Luck roaming the halls. He, of course, the father of Andrew Luck, but right now, a man on the spot as the commissioner of the XFL, the football league that will start just after the Super Bowl, little spring football, which I think will be exciting for folks across the country. And in Houston, Texas, where we originate from, the Roughnecks is the team, and they will be starting their season shortly. Very, very exciting time to have spring football.
Yeah, it's going to be neat. And Oliver Luck, if anyone can do it, he can do it.
Well, there have several been so many other leagues have tried, right? Going back even to the 70s, I remember the WFL, and they came and raided NFL players like Calvin Hill and Paul Warfield. They all drifted away to the WFL, and of course the WFL didn't work. And then there was the USFL, and Donald Trump owned one of those teams, and Herschel Walker
and
played a little bit there.
And
Jim Kelly was there. It just hasn't taken off, but the XFL might be the one exception, being in the time of year that it is in the spring, coming out with, smaller budgets. I'd like to see them win. It'd be fun to have a secondary, almost a minor league feeder system into the NFL. There are quality players who need a little more time to develop, and the XFL might
be
that vehicle.
So would you consider this like a G League for the NBA kind of situation?
I think they may not want that label, but I think that might be the way that it works out. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to have, I guess, Dr. Oz is going to join us when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
Righty.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, here's the deal, Carla. Earlier, Michael Irvin came by and he told us to eat a lot of chips, Frito-Lay chips, while we watched
Crunch
the
time.
Super Bowl. Crunch
That's
time, that was
us.
His big deal. And then, of course, Boomer Esiason came by, and he told us to eat a lot of hummus. And I was interested in eating hummus. And then I like to have some wings. I like to have some other dips in play. I like to have some chili con queso might be really nice, too. And I usually eat all that stuff, and then my stomach doesn't feel so good.
No, because you're healthy pretty much 364 a year.
But so I will not be on the Super Bowl game. And so what I'm envisioning is I need a little help. I'm going to have a little next to me, a bottle of Nauzene.
Scream for Nauzene.
Nauzene's the answer because everyone's done it, right? We've overindulged in good food and drink until we don't feel so good anymore. Well, overstuffing your stomach is an uncomfortable feeling. So this Sunday, big game day, we need to play it smart and have some Nauzene on hand and ready, because Nauzene's four-minute formula quickly relieves all stomach discomfort due to, having too much to eat. You need that buffered formula that keeps everything calm. Everything calms down very quickly. There's no bitter aftertaste or any chalky medicinal flavor. That's Nauzene. Be sure to get it and have it next to you while you watch the big game.
All right.
You're ready, right?
I'm ready.
You never
overeat.
Hopefully
I'm not going to need Nauzene. But if I do, I know in 4 minutes I'm going to be good to go.
All right. Well, Jake Olson's going to join us later. And what a story. He is, of course, a guy with no sight who came in and played the role of direct snapper, deep snapper for the USC Trojans. And so you, as a former Trojan, will certainly enjoy interviewing him.
I cannot wait. What a story. I mean, lost one eye to cancer before the age of one. Cancer came back, remission, and at 12 they had to take the second eye. And so just what he has done is perseverance, never asking why me, but just plugging away. It's going to be a great interview.
So we will have him, Jake Olson, later this hour. There is some news about a different Olson, though. Greg Olson, who at age 34 has now separated with the Panthers by mutual agreement. He and the team have decided to part ways. And it first raises the question, what is the fate of Greg Olson? I mean, he's had a great career at tight end.
Three-time All-Pro.
Outstanding tight end for them for so long. He's now 34 years old, though.
I know, and I think the position of tight end, and Rob Gronkowski is a perfect example of it, there's a lot of wear and tear at that position. So while Greg Olson is still saying he can compete at a high level, and I think he's still open to that, I just don't know. You know, he's missed half of the last two seasons with this foot injury. He's been doing a lot of rehab on the foot. We visited with him last year at the Super Bowl about that, I remember. I know he still wants to play. So it's just how much wear and tear can that body handle?
Well, at 34,
it's a punishing position.
I would not project him as my lead dog tight end if I were building a team. But to have him as a second tight end, a guy who comes in, does some good blocking, and then is a second option as a receiving threat, he could be a nice complement to a team. I mean, look, the Patriots have already been whispered as a possible destination for him. Patriots are bereft at the tight end position. They absolutely need to get somebody. Ben Watson is gone. Obviously, Gronkowski's gone. It doesn't look like he's ever going to come back to the NFL. They got to get somebody. Olson might be one of the two pieces they could bring in. There have been whispers, you know, Hunter Henry, the great tight end for the San Diego Chargers, is a free agent, and he would be a great addition to a Tom Brady-led Patriots team should all that come to pass.
Oh, that would be great, and I think there's so much uncertainty in San Diego. It would be a great move for Hunter Henry, especially if Brady comes back to the Patriots.
Right.
They've got the pedigree. They've got a lot of the pieces in place, and you know Belichick will take care of the missing ones in the offseason for sure.
I mean, thinking about the Panthers, with Matt Rhule there as the head coach and Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator, and the offense are going to run, I think, a traditional strong blocking tight end is not so core to what they're going to do there.
I agree.
But much more core to someone like the Patriots, who have used tight ends so effectively over the years.
And to me, it almost gives a little window in that they're not really they're going to consider Cam, but I don't think they're optimistic about bringing him back because he and Greg Olson had great chemistry. I don't know about that. It's kind of like maybe we'll be moving on from all of that pair, going forward with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady.
Well, another older tight end whose fate still hangs in the balance is the great Jason Witten. And Witten, of course, came back out of the broadcast booth to play another season for the Cowboys. In fact, it was sort of funny to think about. He, of course, was a show host on Monday Night Football. Then he came back and played for the Cowboys. And then there were even whispers that he should be the head coach of the Cowboys. And if that had happened, I don't think anybody in a three-year stretch would have had such an interesting set of jobs. Regardless, he's not going to be the coach of the Cowboys next year.
How did you feel about his decision to come back? Did you think it played out well for him in this last season?
So in one sense, yes. He is a great leader. He is one of those Mr. Cowboy type forces. And when I look at that team, and it's so disappointing that they did underachieve this year, I might have thought what you had in Jason Witten was an iconic leader.
Dalvin has his locker
room.
On
the offensive side. And then you had Sean Lee on the defensive side. And to have one guy like that on each side of the ball, I think really rounds out the leadership of the team. Now, the results didn't bear that out, but I thought it was great to have Witten on one side and Lee on the other. Looking ahead, there have been whispers that Witten might go join his good friend Jason Garrett in New York. Giants might want that veteran leadership there. It's hard to think of Jason Witten wearing a Giants uniform. I mean, I'm just fine with Jason Garrett wearing a Giants shirt on Sunday, but not Jason Witten. I mean, he is the face of the Cowboys, or has been for so long.
Well, you think about what's interesting, even though you're not sad about not seeing Jason Garrett on the sidelines, you think about Jerry Jones has owned the Cowboy franchise for 30 years.
Yep.
And I think in only two or three of those years has he not had a Garrett on the payroll between Jason and his father.
Yeah, his father, Jim, was a scout for the Cowboys, integrated in the Cowboys. And, of course, Jason Garrett was a backup to Troy Aikman for a long time before joining the coaching staff. But if Jason and Jason, Garrett and Witten end up in New York, that would be a big head-turner.
That would be a head-turner. So, are you worried at all about Jason Garrett taking any trade secrets to the division rival of the Cowboys?
No, not really, because, I mean, at best, I think he might be able to say, well, a Dak Prescott doesn't like to throw certain types of passes. He'd rather throw over the middle and short range, and he might have some intelligence in that regard. But the offense is going to look a little bit different as McCarthy puts his own footprint on what Kellen Moore is trying to do.
So maybe this is where the ineptitude of Garrett as a head coach is going to help you.
Well, so I can tell you, as a
Cowboys
fan,
going,
I did not grieve the fact that the fired coach of the Cowboys, a coach who was very mediocre, who had a long chance to prove himself and actually really underachieved
very
this
good
year,
at being average,
that he was going to land there, worked out just fine. All right, when we come back, we've got lots more to go. We've got Jake Olson soon. We've got perhaps Dr. Oz joining us here on set. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now is Jake Olson, the long snapper for the USC Trojans. And I feel like I need to just get out
of
the way.
Former. He's a grad now.
So sitting next to me is
all right. You can tell me I'm still on the team. That's fine.
That's
yeah,
right.
Let's do that.
Well, and we've got another former Trojan right here in Carla Dawson. Carla, you are gushing right now. You are excited to speak to Jake Olson.
I mean, Jake, I have to say, we're way deep in Radio Row. And, Jake, you are this, you know, beautiful sight here, this
Thank
big,
you.
Strong, strapping man.
Thank
and I just
it.
Jumped up. I said, there's Jake Olson.
You have to. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm so glad we could grab you.
I'm glad you came over.
Oh, we are so glad that you're here. And, you know, your story is incredible. I'm sure that most of America knows it because it went viral.
Yeah.
But it really started with your love for USC, and we go all the way back to Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Who really got this going for you. Can you catch up our listeners
yeah.
on your amazing story?
Absolutely. The Cliff Notes version, just growing up, battling cancer my entire life. Cancer took my left eye when I was...
As a baby.
As a baby, yeah, just as a year old. And then fought that cancer in my right eye for the next 12 years. Eventually, after a lot of treatment and a lot of reoccurrences, just relapse and stuff, when I was 12, I was told I was going to have to lose my right eye as well. Which was a devastating moment, as you can imagine. But
yeah, 12-year-old boy, football player, great athlete.
Yeah. So, but I, growing up in Southern California, obviously grew up as a huge Trojan fan. I mean, you know, if you had any brains to, you'd grow up as a Trojan fan, right?
That is the team in LA, no matter what anyone tells you. Yes, absolutely.
Especially with Carroll there in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of told my parents, not thinking anything would happen, just wanted to go see a USC game. You know, I had about a month and a half left to see, and it was in the fall, and so I just wanted to watch USC football. Somehow that sentiment reached Coach Carroll, and he was gracious enough to make that dream a reality, and much more than that, he made me part of that team when I was 12 years old and really helped me get through one of my darkest moments. And it was he's still a great friend of mine, and I love Coach Carroll. He's a great, great man. But that kind of started my relationship at SC more than a fan, but more as, you know, someone who's actually involved in the program and the family member, and then started playing high school football my junior year, got back on the field as a long snapper.
And whose idea was that? I love that idea. Yeah. Is that your dad or was that a friend?
It was really my friend's. I mean, I didn't play my freshman and sophomore year just because it became tackle football at really the highest level in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. That's quarterback you in Southern California.
Exactly. So, I mean, we played in one of the toughest leagues in all America, and it really was just kind of, okay, I don't really think there's a position out here for me, but I really kind of came to my senses after my sophomore year of sitting Friday nights in the stands and seeing all the camaraderie between the guys, and, you know, I love football. It's my passion, and so I came to my senses. I'm not going to look back on high school and regret not playing ball, and you know, I made myself a promise when I did go blind that blindness wasn't going to rob me of my future. It wasn't going to rob me of my hopes and dreams of my childhood, and kind of thinking in that moment, I'm like, blindness is literally robbing me of this passion I have for the game of football. And so talked to my friends, they're like, well, there is, you know, you played center in middle school, and there is this thing called long snapping, and it's, you snap the ball, it's the same distance, and, you know, you're pretty protected out there. And so sure enough, I tried it. Was awful. I did not know what I was doing, so it was completely awful.
I saw the
awful
videos of your beginnings. Yeah,
yes.
On your high school field practice.
Yeah, so kind of everyone's like, all right, well, whatever. And but there was one coach who kind of was like, okay, well, if you really do want to learn this, we obviously going to have to practice. And so we'll start meeting after school every day. And that's what I did. And then once it came into summer, he's like, okay, we're going to have to meet every day in summer. And that's what we did. And then finally I got to fall camp and earned my spot in varsity and started my junior senior seasons, which was just amazing to kind of be back out there playing the game I loved. I mean, it was just an incredible moment, something that I'm always be appreciative of, just playing high school ball. But eventually, you know, wanted to go to USC always, but never thought I'd be playing football at USC until Sarkisian mentioned one time I was up at practice. And, you know, Sark would come to a lot of our games just for scouting,
sure,
you know, all the different players that we were playing. And he was just basically saying, you know, are you planning to come in here? I said, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, if you're going to be here, why not snap on the team? I'm like, well, I didn't really think about that, but if the offer's there, I mean, like, let me take 10 seconds to just scream in my mind real quick. But
exactly.
You know, like, it was just something that I never thought of, but once he put it in my head, I'm like, okay, this there's no going back now. Like, I want to make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that Steve really carried on Pete's legacy. I mean, he knew what was important to Pete, and
yeah,
and that, and Pete really took that on for you and just continued to give you life.
Right.
But also, it wasn't just, oh, we just need to be kind. You're good.
Yeah. Well,
I saw your first collegiate snap.
No, I mean,
I can't talk about it, I'll start crying, but it was amazing. Talk about that moment.
I mean, it was an amazing moment. I mean, it was obviously a sweet moment for me, just in the sense that, you know, putting in the practice, earning my time, and just going out there and doing what I knew how to do. But I think it was just a sweet moment for all of Trojan family, all of
yes,
sports family, just because, you know, I think what makes this story even more special is that because ESPN did that story when I was 12, because I had that experience when I was 12, people grew up with me and people
yes,
rooted me on through it all. And so to kind of have that, I guess, you know, climactic moment of going out there and snapping, everyone kind of felt a part of that story. Everyone felt a part, like, we knew this kid, like, we supported him, we prayed for him, we loved him through it. Now let's all enjoy this moment of just pure happiness. And it was pure happiness.
So we are pure happy here because I'm getting to talk to former USC long snapper Jake Olson. Story of all stories. If you haven't seen it, Google it now. You have just, I think everyone has seen it. I also want to talk about, too, Jake, you're just a diehard Trojan through the core. And really, you know, the program has been through so many ups and downs.
Yes, it has.
And your story truly has not only been good for USC, great for USC, but it's great for college football. And, you know, a time when things are just tricky in all kind of professional leagues, you just really bring in the football, the family, and the faith part of it all. Can you talk about that with us?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's important to realize that, obviously, programs, as you've seen with USC, or, you know, numerous
peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Penn State, Baylor. I mean, over the last decade, I mean, there's been a lot of programs that have gone through ups and downs, but it's about enjoying the game you play, about realizing that these kids, these 18 to 22-year-old kids, are still there putting in the work every single day and trying to make something of, make light out of a situation that's not perfect. And, you know, I had to do that when I went blind. You know, it wasn't a perfect situation. It wasn't a situation that I had asked for or even thought would ever happen, but it did happen. And in that moment, then it was kind of a crossroads of going down a path where I could have pouted and thought, you know, all the cool things I could have done if I didn't go blind. And there was a path that says, okay, I am blind. Now let's figure out how to move forward and continue to live a fulfilling, purposeful life that I love. And, you know, same way goes in football. I mean, it is in a sport that teaches those life lessons. Okay, it isn't perfect. Programs, you know, aren't perfect. Coaches get fired. You know, games don't go the way you thought. You lose a tough game, whatever. But it is about moving forward. You have practice the next week. You're playing the game you love. You have a passion for the game you love. So you find a way to continue to play and put your head down and just keep working until you find that success.
And there's nothing, that's the best life lesson ever you can put into anything. It's not what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens
absolutely.
To you. So, Jake, what brings you here to Radio Row? What are you going to sell me today? I'm ready for you. I'll buy anything you're selling.
No, I just love showing faith. I mean, obviously a big networking, but since being 12, I obviously have been gifted the opportunity to share my story a lot, and that includes going around the country and speaking. And so after I snapped, obviously that really increased, the demand increased, and I love being able to impact people's lives, and there's countless other people that have stories that impact people's lives, and we're just kind of figuring out, based on my experiences and experiences of other talent, we know that the whole booking process was just kind of in shambles. It was a very antiquated system, so we kind of created this marketplace, a digital marketplace where from both ends, from a talent standpoint and someone who wants to book talent, they can make the process just a lot more transparent, a lot easier, a lot faster, more efficient. So it's called Engage. It was a business I created my senior year of college. And,
great.
Yeah, letsengage.com is the website. But it's just a marketplace where you can book talent. And, again, we really wanted to cater to the talent that wasn't being served by these other bureaus and agencies, and also just, again, make the process a lot easier, because it is a mess out there sometimes when you're trying to get a hold of someone and book someone.
Seriously, and where to turn. So is it Engage.com?
Letsengage.com.
Letsengage.com.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I could be engaged to this guy right here, who's so darn cute, and he's got a message for everybody. Jake, thank you so much. I wish you the best of luck in everything you do. I'll continue to follow
you. Awesome, fight on.
Thanks for joining us on SB Nation.
Awesome stuff from Jake Olson.
Really, really great. I'm sorry I didn't get to ask him about the state of USC football. It's changing.
Yep.
Needs to be changing. They just hired Todd Orlando as the defensive coordinator, which is interesting. He followed Tom Herman from U of H to UT, where he was let go this season after yet another disappointing season in Austin, joining Clay Helton at USC. So I'll be curious.
Do you feel USC has found its quarterback?
Yes. In Keaton Slovis?
Yeah.
Yes. JT Daniels is supposed to be able to come back from that ACL injury, but I think he's going to end up being the backup. How can you bench Keaton Slovis? I mean, a true freshman who plays with abandon. I mean, not reckless abandon. He's very intentional. He sees the field. He's got the respect of the locker room. He is money under pressure. It's impressive.
One hot topic, speaking of quarterbacks, that I wanted to bring up was that Lee Steinberg, who is, of course, the agent of Tua Tagovailoa, has said he really hopes that Tua doesn't have to play next year in his rookie year in the NFL. And I think that's a twofold statement. One, it's always nice to bring along a rookie slowly. But this is a rookie who is coming off a very difficult, severe hip injury and will need the time to recover. I mean, some people have even speculated that he ought to do a sort of a red shirt season where he doesn't really play his first year in the league. How much do you think that affects his draft status? I mean, it's hard to draft a guy you can't play or wouldn't play in the first season.
I think the medical for Tua is everything.
Yeah.
That tells exactly where he's going. And I saw some comments yesterday that he made. He's not yet running. I mean, think they had another scan on his hip. He's going to have another one to see how the progress is moving. He's not yet running, and that won't be happening until maybe next month. And you've got the combine around the corner coming up in April. And he said, I'm not there to win the 40-yard dash. I'm not there to win the bench press. I'm here to win the medical. And that, to me, tells me that's where my bread and butter is how I come out medically. Because, honestly, he's a big guy that obviously moves very well. And he's had some major injuries in his college career. You know, the ankle, and it's secured with this new rope-type surgery. And now the hip, which was very, very big and will take a little bit longer. So, I don't know. I've got some concerns if I'm an NFL GM. Just about his durability, because you know your best ability is availability.
Right.
So I
guess I can get my head around the idea that I'm drafting a guy who needs to recover from this particular injury. But what might give me pause is he does have a history of injuries.
Right.
And is he just one of those people whose body is wired for injury? Unfortunately, there are some people, the Dallas Cowboys have had it with a guy like Sean Lee, who just could never seemingly be healthy. Ryan Tannehill was never seemingly healthy in Miami. He finally got healthy and actually performed at a very high level.
Carson Palmer, a lot of injuries. Yeah.
I think, though, given his body of work in college and the elite level at which he played, that
going 22-2 in his 2 years as a starter.
Okay, so amazing. So yeah. I think he's going to go in the top five. I think Detroit will look at him hard at three. Detroit might be in a place where they're concluding they're never going to get to the mountaintop with Matt Stafford,
who's also battled some injury issues, especially this year.
His availability has been inconsistent over the years. So Detroit might look at him at number three. It's amazing to think about Detroit. That's been a sort of a difficult environment for quarterbacks as well. The last time the Lions picked number three overall, they took a quarterback named Joey Harrington.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, that didn't amount to much. And then Matt Stafford later has been a pretty good player. But, yeah, Tua might go three. I like him at five for the Dolphins, but we can take a close look at that.
Yeah, I do think the medical is going to determine, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, we'll be right back to listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
To an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. All right, joining us now here on SB Nation Radio on Radio Row is the great Navarro Bowman. He is a former linebacker for the 49ers. Welcome to the set. You're on with David and Carla.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Great to have you. Now, you have brought us some good-looking eyewear.
We got favors from Navarro already. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I came bearing gifts. You know, I'm teaming up with Zenni Eyewear, who's the official partner of the 49ers, and they're actually glasses to help your eyes. They're going to keep the blue ray from damaging your eyes.
Yep.
Also from your cell phone. And I have a blue light here to kind of demonstrate exactly what they do. You see that blue light on this piece of paper?
I do.
All right,
I see it. I got my glasses on too.
So if you take those glasses off and you try to shine that blue light on that paper,
it
doesn't go through just as much. Okay?
So you're going to help me with computer glare?
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll help you work a little bit longer.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Very well done. Yes, you look great.
Thank you, Navarro. I love you. Come bearing gifts. Christmas in January.
Well, they're handsome, too, and Carla looks a lot better in them than we do. But
exactly.
Well done, Carla. You trumped us again.
Okay, I think I know your pick for this weekend, Navarro.
Yeah, it's not a hard one, right? You know, we're going to go with those 49er boys, those hot boys, you know, they're ready to go and bring that sixth championship home back to the Bay Area.
Boy, I hope so. And I need to ask you, honestly, I have to say, I'm a bit frustrated that every time I turn on the television, morning, night, all I see is Patrick Mahomes. That's all they talk about. That's all I see. And then there will be and there's a quarterback on the other side. Tell me about, do you feel there's a little disrespect going on? And how do you, as a former very accomplished player, especially a 49er, how do you react to that?
I would take it as disrespect,
yeah.
You know, if I was Jimmy. I think that's the athlete that makes you go over the top and prove those people wrong. You have to create that stigma about yourself, that identity, so that on Sunday you have something that's pushing you to grab something out of you and treat it like it's not just a regular game. This is the Super Bowl. You know, so you should be respected. You're in the Super Bowl. You're the quarterback of, I think, the best team in the NFL. And you're not receiving the respect that you should. So let them feel that on Sunday. Don't pay attention to what's going on in the media. They're just trying to sell tickets and get some ratings. But I think Jimmy has been chosen for this job for a reason.
Sure.
And, I think he's in this spot for a reason. So go get the job done, Jimmy, if you're listening.
I agree.
We're talking to Navarro Bowman, the longstanding linebacker of the 49ers and also finished with the Raiders. But let's go back to the 49ers front seven. Pretty exceptional. What do you see in that defensive front?
I see a group of guys that understand all gas, no bricks. You know, that's what Salah's been preaching since I've got a chance to play with them, for him. And they've done a great job all year. I think that's where the game's going to be won or lost. Up front, they have to touch Patrick Mahomes very early. You can't let him get comfortable. Make him run. Make him throw those fancy passes that they've been talking about all week.
Yep.
And see if that'll win them a Super Bowl. But I think the front seven knows they're looked upon to go get this game back to the Bay Area.
Sort of interesting. You left the 49ers right when they were starting to put all these pieces together.
Yeah.
You must have still friends on that team whom you were playing with, but so many faces have turned over, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of different guys. But there is those guys there that understand the type of guys that was there that had that success that we had.
Yeah.
Those young guys are the reason that they're still there. You know, Kyle Shanahan came in, he cleaned house, he picked the guys, him and John, that they wanted to be a part of this ride. And that's what it takes. It takes a group of guys on the same page. You know, and they did what they had to do. I think those young guys have done a great job just listening. And I told them early on in the year, there's not going to be a perfect situation ever, but as long as you stay together and listen to your coaches and you as players go out and execute the game plan and stick through adversity together, you'll be fine. They've done that.
What really strikes me, too, Navarro, with the 49ers is that they have a different weapon. It's not just consistently, you know, like your Rob Gronkowski, for example. I mean, you have George Kittle that can just totally take a game himself. Then you have Raheem Mostert, you know, busting out for 220 yards in a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers in the championship game. I mean, you just don't know who's going to step up with San Francisco, which I think is key. And then you got Jimmy G, who has the highest passer rating in the NFL out of the pocket at a 154. Would anybody have guessed that?
Not at all.
And how great is that?
Yeah.
So I feel like the way that they have been coached, and you credit Robert Saleh and you credit Kyle Shanahan, brilliant young minds that can trick you anywhere.
Yeah.
You can't leave anyone uncovered in that team.
But to go back to that guy, Raheem Mostert, I remember in practice one day, and, you know, you like, when you're on the start and you're going against the practice squad, you know, you want to get your thrust in and make sure you're ready to play in the game. And, you know, I tried to do it one time to Raheem, and you could just tell, look, I'm on the practice squad, but I want to play in the NFL. You know, you could tell the way he would practice, the way he would run the ball, that he just wasn't going to be complacent with being in the NFL. So hats off to him, man. I'm really happy for him.
And he was cut by about six teams,
right, before
he finally found his home.
Yes, yes. So
and he kept that cut list.
Why don't you think teams saw what he had?
You know, like I said, when, you know, Kyle and John came in, you just – fans and you just don't understand the control that coaches and GMs, new GMs, they want to have when they come in, you know. And some guys just get, you know, left off of that bus. You know, it's not necessarily the player all the time, you know. And we as players, we always get the end of the stick. And coaches and GMs, they go on and get new jobs and things like that. But you know, you have to give the credit to those players who are able to excel when they've had six or seven different coordinators, six or seven different head coaches, to be able to execute and understand the type of information that you're receiving from six different minds. I mean, none of these coaches' minds are the same, and it's pretty difficult and hard unless you commit yourself to it to really learn and execute it. So all those things go into play, man, with being on an NFL team, you're never safe. You know, you're never safe. So back to your point, you know, Jimmy is a guy that does what he's supposed to do. He doesn't try to do too much. You know, I think he's learned from that mistake that he had his first year with the 49ers. Let me just do my job and everything will work out. And I think Tevin Coleman, if he has a chance to come back and play, That'll be a big boost for us. But you never know what Kyle's going to do, and we don't have one superstar. And I think that's what you were trying to say, and that makes it hard because during the week, as a defensive mind, you key on certain things and certain formations. They like to go here in certain situations. And with the 49ers, you can't do that.
No, very true. It's interesting because you played Navarro. You took both sides of the bay, San Francisco for 8 years, and then went over, finished it off in Oakland over there.
Yeah.
Both of those franchises took guys out of the TV booth to run their plays, which seemed a little bit silly, and it's turned out beautifully, actually, for both. How do you feel about how Oakland's set up now with Gruden and Mike Mayock as the general manager?
Did you say Oakland?
Oh, gosh. I guess they're officially now LB, right? LB,
they are officially LB.
I'm a Cradle Raider girl, grew up near Oakland. I cannot get Las Vegas to roll off my tongue yet, but
it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
You know, winning will solve that for sure.
Yes, it does. That's a solve for everything.
Winning will solve that. But I think you're questioning it.
Well, the question is, of course, you finished your career with the Raiders. How do you think they're going now? Are they on the right track with Gruden?
I think it's intertwined with, you know, when you get an injury and you get to sit out and watch the game and get comfortable and see exactly where you fit in at. I think those guys that were in that booth, the game started changing. Offenses started changing. Defenses started changing. And John came in trying to do what he used to do. But, John, you have to adjust, you know. And eventually he started to adjust, and things turned around. Him and Derek Carr's on the same page. I think that was the most important thing for them two to kind of understand exactly what each other wanted. And Kyle, just him coming to get 53 guys that understood what he wanted to get accomplished. He knows the game inside and out. I've said it when I was playing against the Falcons. And I was just like, who's calling these plays? You know, I'm on the sideline and during my Achilles injury, and I'm just like, you had me off a little bit, you know, and I'm sitting here trying to guess and know what's coming, and it was just really impressive. And he came to the 49ers the year after, and I knew it was a great choice.
And he's got a chip on his shoulder. He had a 28-3 lead in the third quarter of a Super Bowl. He doesn't ever want to revisit anything like that again. I can't wait to see what he's going to pull out of his hat Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get back to the Super Bowl this fast. And being as young as he is.
I know, 40.
You got some fire in you. And I know you're going to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So,
and considering San Francisco, you think about Jimmy G. And San Francisco. Jimmy G last year at this time is sitting on his couch rehabbing an ACL,
yeah,
watching his 4-12 team, you know, do nothing without him. And now here he is,
yeah,
quarterback for the Super Bowl. I mean, wow.
It wasn't
what
given to him. You know, and no matter what happens in this game, you know, both teams, they deserve,
yes, they
you know,
do.
A congratulations, you know, because it's not easy to do. And the game, I feel like the NFL has gotten more talented offensively over the years. Defenses
with these dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah. Defenses have a hard time keeping guys in front of them these days, rather than back in the day it was a little bit more easy.
Yeah, so you would know. You got to chase those guys around.
Yeah. It wasn't
Goodness.
Too many.
But I think defenses have gotten faster and fiercer, honestly.
They have, and I think that's
savvy
about it, you know. Yeah. You got DBs playing linebacker now, whereas when I was trying to get into the league, linebackers were wearing 255-60 pounds, you know, and it started just decreasing it, and speed kills.
Navarro Bowman, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time.
I
great to see
you guys.
thanks for the glasses. Good luck to you.
Yes, thanks.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, it's been a great week here on Radio Row. There's been all this talk. We've interviewed all these great people about the big game. It's time to make our predictions. And I'm going to let you go first. I need both the winner and your score prediction.
Okay. I'm going with the 49ers. And I'm going to say 34-31.
Ooh, close game.
I think it's going to be close.
And you see that 49er offense putting up that many points.
I do. I think they're capable. Sure, I do. And Kyle Shanahan, as Navarro Bowman pointed out,
yes,
he's always got something unexpected up his sleeves.
Right.
And believe me, he does not want to relive another Super Bowl collapse. Who do you have?
I'm going with the Chiefs. I think the score will be 34-20. I think it will be close.
Wow, you've got a big spread. Okay.
Well, I think that it will be close for a while, and then there'll be this moment when the 49ers can't hold serve offensively. And if they start to get behind, I think it'll be a really hard effort for them to come back. I don't see Jimmy G bringing them back from behind, particularly when the Chiefs, boy, they are so good at keeping their foot on the pedal. Even when they get the lead, they keep coming, they keep scoring. So, yeah, I'm going 34-20 Chiefs over the 49ers.
Okay. Well, you know what? I saw a really cool moment. I saw Tyreek Hill's press conference yesterday.
Yes.
And he told everyone, media, get your cameras ready. Richard Sherman, I got something to say to you. And you I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
Here we
and
go.
He said, you are the GOAT. You are a lockdown corner. You're the best of the best. And I look forward to competing against you on Sunday, man. It was so cool.
No trash talk. No Daryl Revis involved. That nonsense.
It was total
right.
respect. And he started it out like he was going to just have at it. And I really thought that was a really cool moment. Talent respecting talent. I mean, the best of the best for both of them.
Well, they are. And the speed on the field on both sides of the offensive ball. I mean, you look at the receivers of these two teams.
The speed's insane. Did you see the average mile per hour?
Yeah, it's crazy. These guys can really light it up. And, of course, Mahomes takes such advantage of that with his ability to extend plays, get outside the pocket, and then heave it downfield deep to a Watkins or a Hill.
He's the best in the NFL at 3rd and 15.
And that shows.
Wow.
Mozart, of course, the running back of the 49ers, he's a former track star, too. So
right. There's
a lot of speed there. It doesn't stand out to you when you watch him the way it does with a Tyreek Hill, but he's got a lot of speed to burn. It's going to be a fun game.
Look, well, I love it. It's like the receivers for Kansas City average about 15 miles an hour on the ground, and the running backs for San Francisco, 13.
Amazing.
Crazy.
Amazing, amazing. Well, on Monday night, we'll be back together. We'll be doing the Boston Gloss and ESPN Nation Radio.
And someone's going to come up a winner between us.
We're going to play what we predicted, and we will see where we stand. Great to be with you on Radio Row.
You too, David. Great week in Miami.
Boston the Gloss, ESPN Nation Radio.